Thank you, Brother Myers. If you have a Bible, turn to Romans chapter 10. Tonight's going to be a little bit different than I think our typical service. And in about 30 minutes or so, Pacific Baptist Church of Long Beach, you're going to have a business meeting. It's going to be the most important business meeting of the year. You do it once a year, maybe twice a year. I'm not sure if you still do it twice a year, but once a year, you as a church family, you meet together for a business meeting. There's really only one thing on the agenda. Sometimes in business meetings, you have two or three things on the agenda. What color is the carpet going to be? Are we going to get new pews? Are we going to fire one of the assistant pastors? Somebody say amen. But this is a business meeting that we do every year. As far as I know, since I was a part of Cambodian Baptist Church, Pacific Baptist Church, we've been conducting this once a year, sometimes twice a year if we had a missions emphasis. And it's a business meeting that deals with the souls of men. Every one of us in here, this is one of those business meetings, we're going to let everybody vote. Typical business meeting, it's maybe 16 and older. But this is one that even our children get to vote. And you're going to basically, you're going to have the opportunity. You're going to either vote yes or you're going to vote no. And your vote is going to greatly determine the eternal destiny of somebody. You say, well, how are we going to vote? Are we going to raise hands? What are we going to do? No, you're going to vote because in a little bit they're going to pass out faith promise cards. Brother Myers will come up and he'll share a few things. And you're going to have an opportunity to say yes by what you're willing to give. Now, I'm looking at a crowd. I don't know, Brother Myers, would this be 200 adults? What would you normally have? 200 adults in here. That's not, of course, not including the crowd that would be here Sunday morning. What would happen if every adult in here just said, I'm going to raise my missions giving an additional $10 a month? Just $10. Look, after the service, I'm on a real hectic schedule. After service, I ran to Subway real quick. So that's a Subway combo, $10 a month. If every adult in here and every teenager in here, but every adult especially, if you just said, I'm already giving, but I'm going to give $10 more than I'm giving, or some, there are some here tonight, you've never given before, you're new. That would be $2,000 increase over what you're already receiving. I wonder how many people could get saved with that $2,000 a month. We have some friends here, Carol and Helen. I met Helen and her daughter Nellie last week Helen is from Iraq. And Helen and I were talking, actually the three of us and then the pastor and his wife and a couple of folks. We went out to supper after we were at the church service. And Helen is from Iraq. She lived in Iraq the first 25 years of her life. And she told me, she said, I never heard the word salvation until I came to America. So in a few moments, you're going to have the opportunity to vote by your willingness to give. Now, we're also wanting you to pray, and we're going to want many to go. We'll talk about that in a moment. So when I'm done preaching, I'm going to preach for a little bit, and we're going to do something really different. We don't usually do this. My dear friend Pastor Self is here, so we don't want him to write us up or anything. Amen. But faithful pastor, one of our supporting churches, thank God that he's here. But in a few moments, we're going to have somebody come up and give about a 5 to 10 minute testimony, and that'll help solidify what we're saying. But let's all stand real quickly, and we need to move rapidly because we need to get to the business meeting. What I'm saying is not nearly as important what you're going to say in about 30 minutes. It's the truth. The truth of the matter is everything I'm saying you've already heard over and over again. Business meeting is why we're having this. It's what it's all about. It's the flags, the songs, the prayer cards. It's all pointing towards one thing, business meeting time. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. This is a sort of a continuation from this morning. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a promise. January 17, 1977, Johnny Esposito called upon the name of the Lord. I got saved. My life has never been the same. And most of you can attest to that tonight. Thank God for the promise that all I have to do is call upon the name of the Lord and I'll be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? I can't call if I don't believe. I got to believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? We have a living testimony of a woman from Iraq here tonight who never heard for the first 25 years of her life. God so ordained it. I don't know all the details. I don't remember all the details. God so ordained that she came to America. She's saved and she's serving God today. Somebody say amen. But when she called upon the name of the Lord, she called upon the name of the Lord because she heard the word of God. But we are talking tonight, have been talking for the last couple days about a part of the world where she's from. They don't have a chance to hear. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how should they believe in him who they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody's got to tell them. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And by the way, that's your business meeting time. Your business meeting time is going to determine, are you going to be able to send more people? Are you going to be able to continue to support the ones you've already sent? Are we going to, as a church family, be able to send a team to China? That's going to be determined in about 30 minutes. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Father, I pray you help us. We don't have long, and I pray that you'd help us in the few moments that we have to convey your thought and your heart in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just a couple weeks, but probably 2 months before I left Cambodia, came back to the States. Vanak and I were visiting Stumman Jay. There's a north area in Stumman Jay that we go just about every week. Well, we go every week. And some of the people that we talked about this morning and Thursday who got saved there are from the same area. When we come there, they're so very gracious. As soon as we come, they'll pull out a plastic chair for me to sit on. They all gather. It's like a church service. It's pretty amazing. And they'll let me just start preaching, and Vanak will interpret for me and that type of thing. Well, this has been going on for month after month after month, and we're sharing the gospel, sharing the gospel. Well, probably after the first 3 months, maybe after the first 2 months, there was a grandmother, I'm sure not even pronouncing it right, Bong Sang, and she's in her late 80s, and she started sitting out there, well, not sitting, laying on a hammock. And she would lay on a hammock and she would listen while I'm sharing the gospel over and over and over and over and over again. And she was very attentive, and she wasn't like part of the crowd, but she was part of the crowd and she wanted to be part of the crowd. And so we're sharing the gospel over and over again. And every once in a while we'd look at her, do you understand? And she'd get a big smile on her face and that type of thing. Well, just before I was getting ready to fly into Laos, I was going to be in Laos for about 10 days. I was going to be preaching some meetings, and I was going to be meeting with some national pastors and doing some extra training, that type of thing. And in the last year, I've flown there for 4 different times and been there from 7 to 10 days. And I was getting ready to leave. Well, I think I was leaving late Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday morning, we went to Stunman Jade visit. The week before, Grandma said she was sick. She wasn't feeling well, and you could tell she didn't look the same as she normally looked. And this week when we came, she wasn't out on the hammock, and she was actually in on her, and I can't even pronounce it, the bed. Greer, how do you say it? Greer? Somebody help me. Anyway, a wooden bed. And her house is probably 4 feet by 6 feet. That's her entire house, dirt floor, just you know. But she was laying there. She was really sick. And by the way, we see this all the time. And they can't go to the hospital because they don't have money to go to the hospital. You see people dying of cancer, writhing in pain, and they can't even go to the hospital because if they don't have the money up front, they can't go. It's not like America. I tell people, don't complain to me about Obamacare if you've gone to a third world country. It's just you have no idea. So we go in there, we start talking to her, and we're praying with her, and we're sharing the gospel with her again. And some of the national guys that I go soul winning with, sometimes they're a little bit slow to draw the net, to be honest with you, because they know their people. They know their people. They don't understand. And so I'm sitting there. Actually, I'm standing up. She's laying there, and Vinak was sitting on the bed. And we're getting ready to leave, and I said, Vinak, we're not going anywhere. We said, we'll see you next week. And she looked at me. Again, I didn't understand what she was saying. It's all interpreted. She said, maybe. She knew she was dying. And so, if I remember correctly, we closed in a word of prayer. We're getting ready to leave. And I said, no, we're not going anywhere. I said, I am not going to Laos until I give this woman an opportunity to respond to Christ. And to make a long story short, she trusted Christ. As soon as she trusted Christ, she had a big old smile on her face. And she said, I have no more worries. I'm going to go to heaven. That's what it's all about. The poor people in Cambodia, the people in the communist country of Laos, the graveyard for missionaries in Thailand, and the 1.4 billion people in China. That promise is for them. If they call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. But somebody has to be willing to go. And those who don't go have to be willing to give and to pray. Someone wrote these words, and whether we stay or go, we have no choice but to counter culture. If we stay, then we must recognize that sacrificing pleasures, selling possessions, and shaping our lives around getting the gospel to the unreached peoples in the world will inevitably and unavoidably go against the grain of culture that constantly beckons us to seek more pleasures, attain more possessions, and spend our lives around what will bring us the most comfort in this world. In a few moments, you're going to have a business meeting. You're going to make a decision. Some of us, we're going to have to make a decision. Is it one less Starbucks a month? Is it two less Starbucks a month? Some of us are going to have to make a decision. Maybe I need to sell something. Maybe I need to downsize. Whatever decision God lays on your heart, you need to make it for the sake of the lost so that they can hear. Now, I'm going to take a couple minutes, and I'm going to ask somebody to come up here. Of course, we all know this emphasis is really about China, and I'm not going to go through the China bus. You've got the stickers. You've heard it. You're probably tired of hearing it from me because you've heard this 3 years in a row. You've heard it from me. China is the most populous country in the world, 1.4 billion people. China has 150 cities with a population of 1 million or more. The United States, as I mentioned the other day, has 9. China, with the best estimates, China has 5% professing Christian. You say, well, that sounds like a lot. The United States of America has 77%. The Philippines, by the way, has 90% professing Christians. Now, you and I both, we all know just because they profess doesn't mean they possess. I mean, say amen. But the reason I give you those numbers, the Philippines 90%, America 77%, for you to understand, that 5% in China that professes, they don't all possess. A couple years ago, Pastor, God starts turning his heart about China. We believe that God wants to send a team for China, to China. A day or two after Pastor was hospitalized, I met with Brother Myers. And I think it was right then I asked him, is China still on? And he said, yeah, that's, God put it on Pastor's heart. And he said, to be honest with you, with all the circumstances or coincidences, I'd like to share some, but we don't have time. Coincidences, I don't believe in coincidence, but divine providence. I'll tell you about one in a minute. But when I came back here, 2 weeks ago, I met with Brother Myers. What's the emphasis? I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help. He said, it's China. So unashamedly, I'm standing here on behalf of the Chinese people tonight. I have told Brother Myers that if Pacific Baptist Church has a team that's willing to go to China, that I will go with them. I'm very happy in Cambodia. In Cambodia, man, I share the gospel more times in 1 week in Cambodia than I could do in Laos in 6 months. I'm having a good time in Cambodia. But it's 1.4 billion people. It's 1.4 billion people. I told Pastor over the last 2 weeks many times, I talked to him about China, his eyes wide open. And he falls asleep all the time when I talk to him. I call him Joe. I'll call him Pastor. Pastor, quit falling asleep. I'm your older brother. Have some respect. Somebody say amen. But he never falls asleep when I talk about China. I don't know how many times, and we'll show you a picture in a minute, but how many times I've had him give me a thumbs up, or he'll say, yes. I've called some of your names. You think they ought to go to China? Yes. Actually, if it's up to Pastor, there won't be anybody here in about a year. Yes. I told my brother about a week ago, I said, you know, Pastor, it would be great if we could get you into service on Sunday night, just before business meeting, get you in, just if you could talk for 5 minutes. But it's just not feasible. So what I've done is I've done the next best thing. I've asked Miss Mary to come up here. She's going to take 5 or 10 minutes because nobody knows the heart of her husband like she does. And she's going to share with you 5 or 10 minutes, if the plane's going, I'll come tell her, we'll put that thing down. She's going to share with you what I think Pastor would share if he were here. So, Miss Mary, if you'll come. Make sure this mic is on, fellas. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to mostly read. I think I can do that a lot easier. I'm going to go backward to the story we've all gone over before, where it started way back in Chicago, if you don't mind, and I think I'll be fast as long as I read. But you've heard this story, but let me start there. In Bible college, Pastor came across a high-rise building in Chicago. He called 5050 Sheridan. There he told the story of standing in cold, snowy Chicago winter watching barefoot children come in and out without jackets, and his heart broke and his burden began. He had a dream to go to Cambodia, but he found it closed to missionaries. And I put in parentheses, if he knew what he knew now, we would have found a way to get in. But in the meantime, he began an Asian bus route that became the Oriental Ministry at First Baptist Hammond. He had Hmong, Laotian, Khmer, and others on his bus route. Pastor never saw anything isolated, nothing as a coincidence, as Brother Johnny said, but everything as a part of a bigger picture. Our missionary to Cambodia, Chervi, who was here recently, came, and she told me that on that bus route, Pastor started casting to her a vision that one day she was going to go reach her own people. You have to understand, at that time, she just escaped the killing fields. I mean, just escaped the killing fields and made it to America. But she said that vision stayed in her heart. So the vision started way back then. Pastor found out by researching that Long Beach had the largest Cambodian population in the world, excluding Cambodia itself. And of course, he didn't believe it a coincidence that it was his hometown, where he'd never heard of a Cambodian before, because they all came when he was away at Bible college. Then, as Pastor believed, it was God who began to expand Pacific Baptist Church. And we changed the name from Pacific Baptist Church from Cambodian Baptist Church to Pacific Baptist Church, because we were reaching so many different people. Pastor mentioned often USA Today saying that our church was in the most ethnically diverse track in the whole nation. And he just believed everything was part of the whole picture that God had for our church to reach into Asia. Eventually, Brother Borden and others did go to Cambodia. and the dream is being fulfilled that God put in Pastor's heart way back on the bus route, and it's being fulfilled in an unbelievably miraculous way. If you don't look at the updates and look at the pictures on a regular basis, I encourage you to do it. It'll really stir your heart just to see what God's doing. Pastor always had maps on the wall in the bedroom as part of our decorations, and maps of Asia, and he envisioned what God would do through our church, Pacific Baptist Church, over in Asia. Then he took a trip, I don't know how many years back, with Brother Jay when we were trying to get the ministry going there with the Hmong people and with Brother Tongdi to Laos. And he came back and he took those maps down and he started diagramming on the maps and just dreaming and envisioning what God was going to do. He had little provinces all charted out. And he had a specific spot on the map. He would say, if we went right here, we could reach into three different countries from one spot, and that could be our home base. And he just always dreamt of it. God led us, again, in ways that Pastor believed directly to be a part of the continuing story of God's plan for Pacific Baptist Church. And he led us to the church where we started, a second church in Monterey Park. And again, not thinking it was a coincidence, in a highly Chinese population. And Pastor just felt like that was another piece in the puzzle of his plan for the burden to China. But yet the burden for China began to grow more and more. From the start, he preached the same sermon he preached 30 years before to Tervi. He preached that some of you Chinese folks are going to go back to your country someday and you're going to reach your own people. Hope Cindy doesn't mind me saying this, but her initial thought when she heard Pastor say that was, I came here to stay, right? It's like, and that's what Chavi, coming right after the killing fields, and a lot of these young people, they just thought, I finally made it to America. But Pastor preached the same sermon again. And then as Missions Conference 2013 neared, he felt it was time to start sharing the burden in a greater way for China. In all the years I've known my husband, never had I seen such a determination and a belief in him that something was of God. He was so intense. He said it over and over, this is God, this is God. And Brother Johnny has said it, he said, this is a God thing, like this is God. And the first night after the opening, we've all heard this story and gone through it over and over again, but we opened the conference. It was all about China, and we had some missionaries from China here, and we walked home, and he did mention on our walk over to the house that as he sat on the platform that night, he said his vision went out. He couldn't see, and he thought it was just a regular migraine because sometimes he would get those. But mostly he talked about China and how exciting the conference was. And then we got to our house, and as Pastor would always do, or he would always sit down when he comes home. My kids know. Come home from church, sit down, talk about the services and what God did. That was our tradition. That's what we always did. But that night was different. And he walked in, and one of the kids showed him Lao coffee that he loved, that Brother Johnny had brought back. And he looked at it, and he said, he tossed it in the air to one of the children. And he said, China or bust, like from his heart with determination, China or bust. And he turned around and he walked up the stairs. And as we've said many times, those are the last words that my children ever heard their dad say before he went into the hospital to not speak for a long time. And as I was thinking about this lesson, something else came to my mind that I'll end with this, but 9 days before that missions conference, Pastor had sent to all of the staff a missionary booklet, and it was called The Challenge of Missions. And in that book, it's an allegory, and it tells, it's imaginary, but what I'm sure really happens, but it's Satan, and he's having a meeting with all these different leaders of the world, different countries, and they were the closed countries, and they were mentioning, and Satan was meeting with them and saying, okay, how's it going in such and such a country. They haven't gotten in yet, right? And how did you thwart their efforts to keep the gospel from getting into that country? And then he went to the next one. They told all the stories of how sickness and death and different discouragement had been their tools that they used to keep the gospel from getting into those countries. And in that article, it said, this is something that has stood out to me, that was written in, I think, 1959. Is that right? It was written in 1959. In that article, it said, it was imaginary, but it was Satan and his demons talking, and it said, Cambodia, it talked about Cambodia, and it said not one. They said that they had just read, not one person in Cambodia had believed yet. That was in 1959, and I keep thinking, look now what the team from Pacific Baptist Church is doing in Cambodia, and the amazing work that's going on there. And China was mentioned in that little book, that article too, and I just can't wait to see what God does, that down the road, China can be a duplication of what God's doing in Cambodia because of open people from our church who are willing to pray and give and go. Thank you.
Thank you. Fellas, if you could get ready with the China video. We're going to show the China video again because I know many of you, many of our core faithful people, you were serving today. You were teaching Sunday school, junior church, whatever, and we need everybody to see this. So we're going to see the video, then I'm going to wrap it up. I'll take about 2 or 3 minutes. And then the most important time of missions revival takes place. It's business meeting time. We'll have a word of prayer. We'll have a little invitation, but we don't want anybody to leave. We encourage everybody to stay because it is the absolutely most important time of the year for this church family. So we're going to watch a video. Those of you who saw it this morning, it'll be good for you. Repetition's the key to learning, but many of you were not able to see it. And I think it'll help after you just got through listening to the words of Miss Mary. We've got a PowerPoint. We have a picture. We want to invite Pastor to the service to the best of our ability. Don't worry about the lights, but go ahead. You got that PowerPoint ready, fellas? Ready? No, I thought they were ready. Anyway, don't worry about it. You got it? Okay. I asked Pastor, by the way, he's been praying for this meeting. Now, those of you who visit Pastor on a regular basis, you know he's all there. He's all there. He's absolutely all there. He just can't move his body. He's absolutely all there. But I've asked him over and over and over and over again. I've asked him, will you pray for the conference? And I asked him on this day, I said, Pastor, can I give you the Don't Let the Dream Die, the China or Bust sticker you're holding? I took a picture of him. By the way, guys, this is no gimmick, okay? He's there. He gave me, this is, I'm not using him as a gimmick. You understand that? He said yes. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to do something a little bit different than I'm turning over to Brother Myers for business meeting. Most important meeting you're going to have this year for the next 12 months. With our heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm going to ask two questions. Number one, I want to ask everybody in the crowd, I want to ask, has God spoken to you over the last couple of days during missions emphasis, missions revival, about voting yes during the business meeting in about 5 minutes, giving, praying, possibly going? But God has spoken to you. And you know it's God. It's not an emotional thing. But you say, God has spoken to me, Brother Johnny. Pray for me. Slip up your hand. I want to just see. Raise it. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. God has spoken to me. And there's something I need to do. Something I need to do. Good. God bless you. Many, many hands. You can put them down. Thank you. Now I'm going to ask one more question just before I pray. Then I'll give it over to Brother Myers. I want to ask specifically, how many of you would say, Brother Johnny, God is speaking to me about China? Now, some of you, God is speaking to you about Cambodia. Some of you, Laos, Thailand. It could be other places in the world. But some of you, God is speaking to you specifically about China, possibly going, but you're not quite sure. But you would say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. God is speaking to me about China. Brother Johnny, pray for me. Slip up your hand. Hold it up high. Hold it up high so I could see. I'd like to see because I want to pray for you specifically. quite a few hands. There were like 12 or 13 in the college. Sankey, you could put your hands down. Father, you see the hands. Of course, you know the hearts. Father, I pray that you would take each and every one of us and do something special. I pray that you would raise up missionaries to China, raise up missionaries to Cambodia, raise up missionaries to Laos, raise up missionaries to Thailand, raise up missionaries to all over the world. I pray, Lord, for those who will not go, that you will raise up men and women who will hold the rope. If God has spoken to you about anything, I'd like for you to come to the altar just real quickly. Go ahead, just come to the altar.